In most cases, the birth of a child is a time of joy. You know, there might be some times where it's tempered due to illness or the circumstance the child's born into, but most births are joyful occasions because another human being has come into this world. And this human being that has been born has all the promises and all the possibilities that goes with being human. These births are especially joyful when they're under unique circumstances, such as in the case of the feast we celebrate today, the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth, as the scripture tells us, were beyond childbearing age. They should not have been able to have a child, but yet they were. So everyone knew that the child was special, but no one could have predicted how special this child would have been, except for maybe Zechariah and Elizabeth through the message from the angel. As I said, we're celebrating this weekend the birth of St. John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is one of the few saints in which we celebrate both his birth and his death. Most of the time when we celebrate a saint, we're celebrating just their death, or as the church puts it, born into eternal life, which is with good reason. That's the most important point of their lives when they enter into eternal life. Well, with John the Baptist, we celebrate both because his whole life pointed to our Lord. In fact, his life is so important, he's called the precursor or the forerunner. He came before our Lord. His whole life, even before he was born, he was pointing to our Lord. We see this in the scriptures from the vigil reading where it says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And of course, what do we see that? In the visitation where Mary, pregnant with our Lord, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And John the Baptist, still in his mother's womb as well, leaps with joy in the presence of our Lord, present within Mary's womb. We see our John the Baptist as the forerunner when he was born 6 months before our Lord. And again, it's a miraculous birth. The fact that he was even conceived and born at all is a miracle. Very similar in stories, but not exact to our Lord's birth. John the Baptist was conceived naturally. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Covenant prophets. Now, the role of the Old Covenant prophets was to prepare Israel for our Lord's coming. When you look at all the prophets as a whole, they're all guiding Israel towards the coming of our Lord, which again fulfills what the angel told to Zechariah. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts toward their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous to prepare a people fit for the Lord. Well, he filled this role by proclaiming a repentance from sin. Now, this repentance from sin is not just forgiveness of sin. It's not, you know, we go to confession and we get our sins forgiven, which is not a complete understanding of the sacrament. But instead, this repentance of sin that John the Baptist proclaimed is a complete renunciation of sin, complete refusal to ever sin again. It's a conversion back to God and his law. As St. Paul put it on Sunday's readings, that it is a baptism of repentance is what John the Baptist did. Because of all this, John the Baptist is held up for us as an example. How he lived his life is an example for us of how we are to live as disciples. John the Baptist prepared the people of Israel for our Lord's first coming. We are to prepare ourselves and those around us for our Lord's return. As an aside, since this is the fortnight for religious freedom, this is why religious freedom is so important in the United States and anywhere in the world that it can be celebrated. We need to have the right to proclaim our faith and not merely just practice our faith behind closed doors as so many want to in our world today. They say it's fine that you practice your faith as long as it doesn't impinge on anybody else, as long as it doesn't affect anyone else. You can do it in your church, but don't you come out in the public square. We have the right to proclaim our faith to the whole world. John the Baptist turned his life over to God. The most famous phrase from John the Baptist is, I must decrease, he must increase. He realized that his life must point to God. As Christians, we are called to let the light of Christ shine through us as it shone through John the Baptist, so that our lives will point to Jesus and not to ourselves. as Isaiah says in the Sunday, for the first reading from Sunday, a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what we're called to be, a light to the nations. Most importantly, we need to hear the call of John the Baptist to repentance in our own lives, in each of us as individuals. Repentance from that which keeps us from God, and repentance from that which keeps others from seeing Christ in us. This repentance that we are called to, as I said with John the Baptist's baptism, is a repentance which is a total renunciation of sin. This is what confession is about, not just going and asking for forgiveness, but renouncing sin. When we hear that call and we answer it, not only will we follow Christ, but we will lead others to him, as John the Baptist did.